This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me for another fantastic conversation that we will be exploring during this hour. I want to remind everyone that this show is dedicated to empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decision possible regarding your health and well-being. And I also want to remind everyone that Progressive Radio Network has an app, and it's a fantastic app because it allows you to listen to either a live broadcast or an archive show from anywhere that you may be, as long as you're connected to your phone, your iPad, your computer, whatever. So you need to go to The Progressive Radio when you do a search for an app, and it's free. And I encourage everyone to go add it to their list of apps and really never miss a show, never miss one of my shows, never miss many of the other great shows. So all this is so possible now, and I'm excited that there is such an app, and I've downloaded it, and I've been listening to other shows, and I want everyone to know that this is a great new addition on Progressive Radio Network. So just go to The Progressive Radio when you do a search for the app, and it's free. So I am very excited about our topic today because we're going to be talking all about the eyes and the solutions for so many of the eye issues that we're all being faced with these days. I know that many of my friends and relatives are dealing with glaucoma and have had surgeries or macular degeneration. You know, I've had eye issues since I was a child, and with astigmatism and other things. And so we're going to cover the whole gamut, and to help us navigate and find holistic solutions for healing our eyes is my very special guest today, Dr. Sam Byrne. Let me just introduce Sam to you. Dr. Sam Byrne has been in private practice in New Mexico for over 25 years and is an established leader in functional medicine. He uses holistic optometry and vision therapy to improve eye health, vision, and overall wellness. He understands and treats the body as one integrated system rather than a collection of independent organs in order to identify and address the root causes of disease. This approach views each person as genetically and biochemically unique. Therefore, his treatment methods are personalized and tailored to the individual. Dr. Byrne uses whole health methods to give patients approachable, immediately usable, and powerful protocols for improving their vision and wellness. He has developed innovative methods for healing the mind, body, spirit through eye therapy and provides individuals with natural alternatives for reducing disease and improving vitality. These methods offer a holistic solution to children and adults with autism, ADHD, cataracts, dry eye, glaucoma, macular degeneration, and many other conditions. So this is such an exciting show because I know we all want to improve our eyes, heal our eyes, and do whatever it takes to maintain optimal vision. And it's therefore my great pleasure to welcome Dr. Sam Byrne to the show. So hello, Dr. Byrne.
Hello. Hello. It's nice to visit with you today.
Well, it's lovely to have you on the show. I've been looking forward to our conversation because this is an important topic. It's such an important topic, and I've been watching some of your YouTubes, going onto your site, and you just make so much sense. So I want us to be able to really provide the knowledge and information that will allow people to find solutions without necessarily having to have a degenerative problem occur that could potentially compromise their vision, their sight, and also know how to take care of our eyes. So we have lots to talk about because there's so many issues that you cover in your work. And I thought the very best place for us to begin today was helping us understand our eyes and a little bit about the anatomy, maybe physiology of our eyes, because our eyes are fascinating structures that very few people really appreciate.
Well, let's start with this aspect of the eye structure. If we look at prenatal development, very early on, we can see in the fetus that these bulges grow out from the brain, and these bulges eventually become our eyeballs. So every tissue of the eye is brain tissue. So when we work with the eyes, we're working with an extension of the brain. And the eyes give us such incredible insight into our health on so many levels, systemically, metabolically. And so in terms of the eye anatomy, what I see in my practice is that people, if we start with the front of the eye, the cornea, that's the clear window, and we need really good tear production to keep our cornea healthy. And people now that are on digital devices or they're taking a lot of pharmaceutical drugs or they have had eye surgery, they're suffering pretty excruciating dry eye syndrome. So the cornea is not getting the proper tear production. And the eyelids, actually, every time we blink, we are producing the tear film that covers the cornea. And so the eyelids and the cornea make up the very front surface. And then we have the pupil of the eye, which is the, I would say, the regulator of the light into the body, into the eye. So what happens with the pupil is that when we go out and on a sunny day, the pupil should get small. And when we go into a dark room, the pupil should dilate. But what happens if people have, say, an adrenal burnout situation, that reflex of the pupil doesn't work properly. And so people are complaining of light sensitivity. That's a really big problem. And it's traced, again, to an adrenal issue. If we go a little further back in the eye, we have the anterior chamber, and this is a fluid-filled chamber where the fluid has to pass through a meshwork to go to the back of the eye, and people that are diagnosed with glaucoma have an issue with the meshwork, and so the fluid is not able to circulate properly, and this creates a starvation in the optic nerve, which is back in the retina, and this is what causes the visual field losses that we see in glaucoma. Now, if we go to the lens is the next structure back. Of course, more and more people are suffering cataracts today, and the lens of the eye is really a very vulnerable tissue that if we don't get enough oxygenation and hydration in the lens, then free radicals start to accumulate in the lens, and this is the formation of cataracts. And then if we go a little further back, we are now into the vitreous part of the eye. This is the jelly-like part of the eye. And what happens here is that in the aging process, some of the jelly begins to solidify, and this is the diagnosis that people have called floaters, you know, those little specks that float in front of the eye. That's also oxidative stress, so we can talk about that. And then we get to the far back of the eye, which is the retina, and this is the place where we have our photoreceptors that capture the light and then send an electrical impulse to the brain. So if the retina, it's comprised of many, many microcapillaries. These are the tiniest blood vessels in the retina, and they require a lot of metabolism to stay healthy. People that suffer conditions like diabetic retinopathy or hypertensive retinopathy or even just simply night blindness, a lot of times the photoreceptors are not functioning properly. And then we have the macula, which is the center part of the retina, and it only takes up 1% of the real estate of the retina, but that's the critical part of our detail seeing and our color vision, and it creates that macular degeneration diagnosis that we can talk about. And then finally, the optic nerve. This is the nerve plexus. I call it the root ball that then sends those signals back to the brain, and that's how we see. So the eyes are a very dynamic, holographic portal, which can reflect our systemic, metabolic, and even energetic health.
Are the eyes being used by some practitioners as an indication of overall healthy functioning body?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question because there was just a piece of research that I discovered that now that you can do these retinal scans to look for retina plaques that are on the retina, and this can be a very early diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. I would also say that there are other diseases in the central nervous system and the brain that you can diagnose by looking at the retina and the optic nerve. So the eye is such a beautiful instrument in terms of telling us what's going on in the body. And then we can do some, you know, in my world, holistic interventions to rebalance the body. So you're absolutely right. Yes, there's lots of ways to determine what's going on in our overall health of the body.
Yeah, that's very, very fascinating. I was wondering where iridology comes into this model.
Well, iridology is the science of studying the iris of the eye, and I don't do iridology. I've studied it. And basically, the iridologist will take a photograph of the iris, and then through the different configurations of the iris picture, he or she then can make a determination on what's going on an endocrine level, on a digestive level, look at the glands and organs. So it's a really cool way to, you know, look at the body by looking at the configuration of the iris. So, you know, again, it's part of this echoing that I'm saying that we can use the eyes to really help us understand the body better.
Yeah, that's so fascinating to think of the eye as a portal into your body and into the systems and functions and how well your physiology is functioning. Most people don't have that thought. And also the conditions in the eye are mirroring what's really going on inside. So we need to understand our eyes from a holistic perspective. I wanted to ask you, before we go into some more specific conditions and solutions, I'm curious, what was the turning point for you being trained as a traditional optometrist to suddenly move in this holistic direction?
Well, my turning point was when I was a child. I was about 8 years old, and I was diagnosed with a learning disability, and my mom took me to all these specialists, and we ended up in an eye doctor's office, and I was given a pair of nearsighted glasses. Didn't do anything for my learning problem, but I became really good at memorizing. But my eyes got progressively more nearsighted. And when I got out of optometry school, I actually met a holistic eye doctor in his 70s, and I went through his program called Vision Therapy, which is a physical therapy that helps reprogram the eye, brain, and the body. So by going through his program, two things happened. Number one, I dissolved my nearsightedness. My prescription just totally went away, and I was able to see 20/20 without lenses. The other thing that happened is that he diagnosed me with a condition called convergence insufficiency, which means my left eye wanders out. And I was having double vision as a child, and my eyes weren't working together. So this vision therapy that he offered me actually repaired that convergence insufficiency. My reading skyrocketed. My learning got better. And so those two experiences awakened me to say, wow, I want to do this. And so then I went more into a holistic approach to vision therapy and holistic optometry. And then there were some other things along the line that also guided me. But those were the two really big things in my initiation that moved me into this holistic field.
So fascinating how we find ourselves where we are, how the journey unfolds to take us into these directions that are really open.
So
you know, it's like you're, pioneering a new frontier that is really so needed right now because there are solutions. You know, when I was a kid, I was diagnosed with astigmatism, and I had that left eye that also wanders around. And I remember as a child going to the optometrist's office, and he put me on these machines that made me use the muscles, I guess, and trying to strengthen that eye. So on and off throughout the years, I've had to wear glasses. I even had a time in my life where I was about 8 or 9, where I was using a patch, was wearing a patch over the good eye, trying to get the left eye to work, which I don't think really did much at all. So I've had glasses on and off throughout my life. I haven't always used them, and I don't even use them consistently now, but you know, we notice as we get into our 40s that there is a change going on with our eyesight. And I think that's a pretty universal thing for people, always exceptions to the rule. But certainly was my experience, and I resisted it for a long time. I kept borrowing other people's glasses. You know, I didn't want to admit I really needed them. But let's maybe we can start there, you know, and talk about what happens as we get into seemingly the 40 years is a time when changes begin to happen with our vision that require us to get more help for our eyesight.
Okay, well, the one thing I want to present to your audience is a paradigm shift here. And in the paradigm shift, we do this in our workshops. You know, whatever you were told by your eye doctor, let's put it out there and see if it's actually true or false. And the turning 40 is really a myth in a lot of ways. So what's behind the, and the condition is called presbyopia, but let's start with this. Any prescription that you get from the eye doctor is based on an adaptation you're making to avoid what's right in front of you. So it could be stresses causing it. It could be confusion. It could be muscle weakness. It could be toxicity, trauma, stress. And let's say you get a prescription from the doctor based on that, you know, you sit in the room and which is clearer, number one or number two, and you get a lens that you guess at number two, and you start wearing it and it makes you dizzy, and you go back to the doctor and the doctor says, don't worry, you'll get used to it. And so you don't want to get used to suppressing that response. But basically in what you're talking about at the 40-year-old mark, is that in the muscles of the eye that control the lens of the eye, they start to lose their ability to focus. And vision is a learned skill. It isn't just a genetic thing. We can't just blame it on, you know, well, because we get older or we have this situation. You can get more empowered than that. And so if you start wearing magnification glasses, what that does is that actually reduces your muscle flexibility even more. It takes you further away from the responsiveness that you need with your muscles to regain the near focus. Also, if you start wearing invisible bifocals, those transition bifocals, those are going to also age and weaken your eyes even more. There are some really great exercises that you can do in your 40s to not only reverse the need for reading glasses, but also dissolve astigmatism. Because astigmatism is about a twist in the eye. In other words, the eye loses its shape. And so if you wear a lens that kind of locks in that irregular shape, then you're going to lock in the astigmatism. I'm going to make another statement to the audience here, and think about this, is that any prescription you get from your eye doctor, any prescription in your eyeball is also present in your body through your movement, through your posture, through your emotional responses, through your perceptions. And so in astigmatism, if you start working in bodywork therapy like Rolfing or craniosacral therapy, and you unwind the spine and the body, the astigmatism in the eye will actually go away. And so we're back to the whole health picture, that whatever you're doing with the body, do it with the eyes and vice versa. And then you don't need to wear these limited lenses that are going to do nothing more than weaken your eyes. So there's a lot you can do to reverse visual deterioration, whether it's glasses, contacts, eye disease, at any age. And the reason why I say that is because I said at the top, the eyes come from brain tissue. Therefore, the eyes, they are able to be part of the neuroplasticity or the neurogenesis capability that the brain has, which is regenerate or create new pathways. So vision therapy is a physical therapy where you can retrain and reprogram your eyes back to full health.
Wow, I really love that. So the more you rely on glasses and magnification or whatever the prescription may be, mm-hmm. the more you are continuing the weakness of the muscle and continue reliance, which will only weaken it further, so you need to get stronger and stronger prescriptions down the track.
Yeah, so what we're talking about is the disease-based model where you're treating symptoms. And what I'm talking about, what I promote, my mission is, my passion is about the wellness model. How can we show patients how to engage their eyes and their body so that they can improve as they get older instead of this downward deteriorating slide? And then, you know, it's what's offered. Now, let me just say this, that in, say, presbyopia, the magnification glasses, where you start in the re-education process and it is in a very zero, low-demand situation. So I'm not saying don't wear your reading glasses and strain, and that's not the place where you're practicing your new vision. But there are certain physical therapy exercises that if you do them every day, then you can begin to reduce the magnification that you're in, and eventually you won't need the magnification because your eyes have returned to their resiliency, to the muscle's responsiveness, and you won't need the magnification anymore. I'll also say this, that people that are on digital devices, this has been a really big stress for people in terms of the reading glasses and the deterioration, because your eyes are focused in one position for long periods of time. And we can talk about, you know, what we can do to take care of our eyes if we're on digital devices most of the day. But that's another factor. Of course, diet, stress, you know, we can talk about all that. But again, you can retrain and reprogram your eyes at any age.
Well, that is inspiring. I love that message, at any age, because we do have some limiting thoughts in our culture about that. So we have to dispel them right here and now. You can reverse conditions in your eyes at any age. I wanted to ask you your thoughts on contact lenses. Do they do harm? Is there anything we need to know about contact lenses?
Well, you know, overall, contact lenses, they were a great invention. I mean, you have this little lens on your eyeball. It opens up the peripheral vision, so it's great for sports. It's great for socializing. But I wrote an article a few months ago on something called the ocular microbiome. So the microbiome we know is the healthy bacteria in the gut or in the body. But in terms of the eye, researchers have found that there's actually good bacteria in the eye that slows or prevents inflammatory responses and infections like pink eye and more serious conditions. So when you wear contact lenses, you are disturbing that ocular microbiome. So you have to do some things to make sure that ocular microbiome is working well. And this is a place where the contacts could maybe cause a little bit of stress. There's another piece I want to bring into it, and that is that I did a research study once in my office, and 95% of my patients, the people coming in for their first exam, they were overcorrected in their distance vision in terms of the contacts. If I reduced their prescription slightly, it actually slowed down the deterioration of their near vision so they could still read through the contacts into their 40s and 50s. So in terms of the contacts that you're wearing, you want to make sure that they're not super hyper strong, because that's going to reduce your near vision. And the other piece of the puzzle, of course, is the dry eye syndrome, the chronic dry eye syndrome. And if you wear contacts, you need to do some things systemically and topically in your eyes to keep your eyes moist so that you can wear contacts. And I would say the overall philosophy is this: based on the demand that you're being, you know, what you're supposed to be doing in that moment, wear the proper optical system. And so if you're playing sports or you're going out, you know, hiking or something, contacts are great. But it's always good to take them out at night, let your eyes breathe, use some really good moisturizing eye drops. But overall, I think contacts can be a good thing. It's just, how can you get more out of your vision so you're not going to have that deterioration? And the idea is educating people on this particular subject.
And not getting too strong a prescription, like with any glasses.
Exactly. And with a lot of people, they will get the prescription and they go, this is causing a little bit of a headache, or my eyes feel really tight. And, you know, in my own case, when I was very nearsighted, the doctor that I went to see, he gave me a reduced prescription and he said, start wearing it indoors. And in 1 month from wearing that, I could actually drive with that prescription. So my brain and my eyes and my awareness adjusted to the weaker prescription, and actually my eyes felt so much more relaxed being in that prescription. So, you know, you could negotiate with your eye doctor and say, okay, I'll take the strong one. Now can I have one, say, that's a middle of the road that I can do some vision improvement with? Because any lens you wear is going to fix the muscles in a certain position, and the stronger the lens, the tighter it fixes those muscles.
So I have a question. If you take your glasses off and you are trying to read without glasses, and it's a bit of a strain, obviously you want good lighting, is that a good thing, or is that putting a strain on the muscles? And
I think it's putting a
potential
strain.
Harm?
What I would do at that point is I would go back to your doctor and say, can I get a reduced prescription from what I normally wear and try out different lenses so that you're not straining, so that it's easy, but it's something less than your habitual lens that you're wearing. And then, of course, doing some of the physical exercises. So on my website, I've put up a lot of free eye exercises that actually increase eye muscle flexibility and peripheral vision. So people could go online and they could start doing these eye exercises every day and then start wearing a reduced prescription, and it's a process. And so then you could begin unwinding your certain perspective on how you see. And, you know, within a couple months, yes, you probably would be able to read without glasses, but you have to go through a little bit of a process.
So it's a discipline. You need to stay with the exercises. But just knowing, just having the thought that it's possible is the beginning of that healing process, because it's just dispelling these myths that we've been taught.
Like we've been taught that our eyes only age, you know, as we get older, we're going to get disease. At age 40, we're in bifocals, and age 50, we're in trifocals. Age 60, we've got cataracts. Age 70, we have macular degeneration. I mean, this is what we're taught in school. And, you know, again, if you start looking at natural healing methods, acupuncture, homeopathy, herbs, you know, these particular modalities have been around a long time, and it's about regaining dynamic balance in your body. And if you show the body the way to better healing and better balance, it's going to go there. And the eyes should be part of that conversation. They're not, but they should be. And that's where I'm bringing this conversation into our, you know, into people's consciousness, because you can do it.
Yeah, I love it. It's already expanding my border, my boundaries of possibilities. So thank you so much. And I know you've got some great exercises on your website, which we'll tell people is Dr. Sam Byrne. That's BERNE.com. Dr. Byrne has lots of great information on his website. I recommend you go there often. And I looked at some of those exercises that you're offering, which are fantastic, and I actually am going to go do them. You've inspired me. I would like to be without glasses. That would be really nice, without dependency on glasses. So my goal is to heal my eyes. I've made that one of my 2018 goals.
I'm here to support you with that in whatever way you need to, and there's no question that you can do it. I've done it with thousands of people. Well, first of all, if I can do it, anybody can do it, because I was indoctrinated that you can't do it, and I broke through. So, but what it's really about is, you know, empowering you to see with fresh eyes in the moment and have really resilient vision into your old age, so you can keep driving and reading and creating and, you know, playing with your grandkids. Because, you know, when you get the diagnosis from the doctor, it's a bummer. And there isn't a whole lot, you know, I gave this lecture a few years ago to a group of optometry students. And I said, I've got all this great information on, you know, what do you do if somebody's diagnosed with macular degeneration? And the student said to me, we watch it. I said, really? You just watch it? How about I can give you things you can do in acupuncture, in naturopathy, you know, in diet? No. This is what we're taught in school, to watch it. And I get this a lot.
Watch it deteriorate.
Watch it deteriorate. Are there any things that we can do? No, just surgery and drugs. And look, to me, being totally holistic is I have to accept and use allopathic medicine, and I do use it sometimes. But it's the full range. That's the dynamic range of allopathic and complementary alternative. And so, you know, there isn't a lot of hope out there. There should be, because this has been around for a long time. My mentors, who aren't around anymore, they were doing this stuff back in the 30s and 40s and 50s. Unfortunately, what's happening in all of allopathic care is technology and, you know, the insurance situation and, you know, all the factors that are creating problems. And my thing is about education. How can we educate people to improve their health and their eyes? And it's simple.
Well, that's such a great message. And let's start and look at some of the conditions that are so common now.
Okay.
I thought we'd start with conditions that are prevalent in women during menopause, since I have a lot of women listening. Let's talk about what goes on physiologically for women. I know as women get older, they are more prone to having a dry eye condition. What's your experience?
Well, I have lots of experience with people with dry eye. My wife went through menopause, so I have a good case history, but I've had thousands of women who I've helped with dry eye. And so basically what's happening here is that, and there's a lot of research out there that I could give you citations, but basically when we begin to have an endocrine change in our body, it begins to change our ability to produce the proper tears in the eyes. And there was a study that was done that actually said that that women that are on hormone replacement therapy, they tended to have a higher dry eye symptoms. Women that have lower estrogen tend to have higher dry eye symptoms, and it turns into this chronic dry eye where it can actually be excruciating. And then there are certain conditions like, Cushing's disease and Addison's disease. Those aren't quite as common. But anything in the family of thyroid imbalances or adrenal imbalances, many times they begin to affect our ability to produce proper tears. So in looking at chronic dry eye, I believe that you have to treat it two ways, systemically. And again, there's some really solid research actually with women about upping their omega-3 fish oil on a daily basis and creating more fats and oils in their diet if they can. This will support less dry eye. And then the other piece of it is using eye drops that actually moisturize, reduce inflammation, but they don't have the side effects of pharmaceutical drugs. Or if you go into the regular pharmacy and you use something like Visine, which gets the red out, that actually is going to dry your eye in an accelerated way. So the eye drops that I find that work well are homeopathic, and there's an eye drop I use called MSM. Now, this is a sulfur-based material. It's like we need sulfur in our body. We get it from certain foods. And MSM is actually a great sulfur product that actually reduces inflammation in the eye. It also softens the cornea, so there's better absorption of the MSM eye drops. And coupling MSM with homeopathics and then more fats and oils in your diet, especially omega-3, this is a much better answer because it's treating the causative factors. It's not treating the symptoms. And then we can look at some really important antioxidants for the eyes like glutathione. That's a super master antioxidant. We need it for lots of things, but for the eyes especially. Vitamin C, vitamin E, beta carotene, zinc, magnesium, bilberry, ginkgo, taurine. These are so important for eye nutrients. And what happens, not just for women and not just dry eye, but a lot of these eye diseases, is that we have less oxygenation and hydration in our eye tissue, and that creates an accumulation of metabolic waste. And so then at that point, that metabolic waste just starts accumulating. We need to increase our antioxidants level so that we can push the metabolic waste away. And we also need to track our inflammatory response, especially in the gut, because any inflammatory response in the body is going to highly impact our eyes. And so if we need to do probiotics and fermented foods and no gluten and reduced or no dairy, no sugar, you know, again, doing things that we're going to be doing anyway to have better health, it's going to profoundly affect our eyes. I'm going to say one more thing here, and that is that in acupuncture, Chinese medicine, the liver rules the eyes. So if any of you out there that go for acupuncture, talk to your acupuncturist about the state of the liver meridian, because if your liver meridian is off, it is going to affect your eye health on so many levels, especially dry eye syndrome.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, because in Chinese medicine, the liver opens up in the eyes, so there's definite connection between and liver. And the other thing I just wanted, two things I wanted to ask you, is carnosine, L-carnosine, in the form of an eye drop, something I can recommend?
Yeah, so the L-carnosine is has been shown to actually, in some cases, slow down the progression of cataracts. There's also another eye drop that I use called Cinerary Maritima, which is a homeopathic eye drop. So there are eye drops out there that actually, their purpose is to dissolve the metabolic waste in the lens of the eye, which is really amazing. And then if you want to add the third one to that list would be the MSM eye drops, because those are going to reduce inflammation, increase the delivery system of those other two eye drops. It's going to penetrate deeper. And any inflammatory response going on in the eye is going to be reduced. And we know that as we reduce our inflammatory response, our microbiome gets stronger, our lymph system gets stronger. So overall, it's going to create better and healthier eye tissue across the board. So you're onto it. You've done your research. Absolutely. There's lots of different agents that you can use to increase your eye health through eye circulation and getting rid of the oxidative stress that accumulates in your eyes as you age.
So then you must also be a fan of zeaxanthin and lutein, which are known antioxidants, particularly impacting the eye, I guess, and the brain as well.
Well, I would add a third one, zeaxanthin. So zeaxanthin is a yellow pigment that is needed for macular health. Basically, the zeaxanthin is right in the center of the macula. And what the zeaxanthin does is it actually deflects the ultraviolet light from the sun, and it also deflects the blue light from the computers, which can cause the beginnings of macular degeneration. So zeaxanthin is in the middle, and that's a mixed carotenoid. And then lutein is kind of around the zeaxanthin. That's another carotenoid, and we can't produce those in our body, so we need to get them from our green leafy vegetables and, you know, egg yolks and, you know, cruciferous vegetables. And then astaxanthin is an amazing, it's such a powerful antioxidant that would be a third one that you could introduce. Wow, that's those three, and then I might add glutathione as number four. You're going to really be doing some good things for your eyes by adding those into your diet, either through supplementation or food.
And one more thing I wanted to ask you. I've been doing some research, and I've had guests on my show talking about molecular hydrogen. And the hydrogen molecule is a really powerful antioxidant going after the dangerous free radicals, not the beneficial ones. Mm-hmm. There is a benefit to free radicals as well. Have you worked with molecular hydrogen?
You know, I've worked with it a little bit. I'm assuming you're talking about it, hydrogen water. Is that where you're?
Well, I'm actually talking about a tablet that you into water and it fizzes up and then you drink it.
Okay. So. Mm-hmm. I haven't used that product. I've used a little bit of the hydrogen water that's created through a filtering system, but I think that could work really well. I haven't done enough research in my own practice to fully endorse it. I would say, you know, do your homework, but it certainly makes sense. And, you know, we're discovering all these new things, like CBD oil is another one that people are really using a lot, or just essential oils, which I know a few things about, or herbs, even those have been around for a while. we're moving back to the plants, you know, because they have the medicine for healing. And I think people are seeking all of these things out because in pharmaceutical drugs, those are synthetically made. They're great at treating symptoms, but there are toxic factors. And on my website, I talk a lot about how pharmaceutical drugs that you take may actually cause your eyes to deteriorate in an accelerated fashion. And so you want to be careful about what drugs you're taking because they actually may be causing some eye problems, and you need to be informed.
I recently wrote an article about conditions in the mouth, and I was researching dry mouth. So you're drying up the mucous membranes, right, when you have things like dry mouth, which is associated with things like dry eyes. And they listed in the articles and the research I've done over 500 different pharmaceutical drugs can cause dry mouth, which I would also logically assume can contribute to dry eyes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, on my website, I list several pharmaceuticals, you know, even steroids and antibiotics, the major ones, but, you know, blood pressure medicine and, you know, anti-inflammatories, that's a big one. And I've done a couple of videos on my Facebook page on non-steroidal inflammatory drugs and how they affect the eyes and how they dry them out. So, you know, the mouth and the eyes are very connected. I did a research study and actually did a video up on Facebook on dental amalgams and how they may be related to floaters in the eyes because of the mercury in the mouth. And, you know, when you get dental work, it can definitely have an effect on your eye health. So you want to be aware of that and see if you can seek out a biological dentist, somebody who's more holistic, that's going to be putting composites into your mouth, not metals. So it's all related, and, you know, we keep beating the same drum, but that's kind of the situation, really.
And one other thing I was going to ask you, I have done a lot of research into the effects of Wi-Fi technology and all our devices, and they generate a tremendous amount of free radicals in our body, exposure to any of the Wi-Fi frequencies, which is, of course, 24/7 right now, penetrating us all the time. And, you know, it just concerns me because you put the phone right up against your ear, next to your eyes, next to your brain. It must be impacting vision and the health of the eye as well as, you know, your brain and other. Yeah, I'm thyroid. Of course, it has a systemic impact. But that's direct. I mean, that phone is directly in proximity to the brain and the eyes. Have you noticed anything in your practice?
You know, I have. People will come in and they'll have very unexplained blurred vision, and there's no way that we can correct their vision. There's something like there's a toxicity going on. And a lot of times we will trace it, and electromagnetic pollution is one of those things. And you couple that with, well, I'm on my phone all day or I'm on my computer all day. So then you've got the dry eye situation. You've got the blue light damage from the digital devices. I'm not sleeping at night because the blue light suppresses the melatonin. So there's no question that, you know, the electromagnetic radiation is affecting our brain, our immune system, our digestive system, and creating more stress in us. So, yeah, I mean, it's all related, sure.
Yeah. Another factor we need to be aware of and be proactive with. So, okay, so let's talk about some of these other really common eye issues, and I think we should move on to cataracts because that's another huge category, and I don't know what the statistics are, but I know it's like I took my mother to have a cataract removed to this huge institute, and I mean, it was just a beautiful building, and they just had, you know, this people coming and going all the time. So I go, this is a growth industry, cataract surgery, you know. So what can we do to prevent and even to heal if we're starting to develop a cataract?
Okay. Well, let's define what a cataract is, and then we'll go into solutions. So a cataract is basically a metabolism problem in the lens of the eye. And the lens is one of the structures of the eye where it relies on its blood vessel nutrient support indirectly. There's no blood vessels that go through the lens of the eye. So it's a very vulnerable area of the eye that is rife for collecting free radicals, metabolic waste, oxidative stress, any other factors like the UV from the sun or the blue light from the digital devices. But what I find is that a lot of times it's related to oxidative stress, digestive issues, inflammatory responses in the gut, and blood sugar levels sometimes are off. So you need to mark those and see what that situation is like. And in terms of cataracts, there are things that you can do to reduce the progression and in some cases actually reverse cataracts. There was a study done that said that, you know, people that develop cataracts have lower levels of glutathione in the lens of the eye. So glutathione is something that you want to take. One of the ways I recommend it is very easily through a sublingual spray. You can actually spray it into your mouth sublingually, and that's very bioavailable, so it's a way that you can get it into your bloodstream. Vitamin C has also been shown in the ARID study in 2001, vitamin C and vitamin E. Very important for all eye health, including cataracts, beta carotene, lutein, zeaxanthin, astaxanthin, bilberry, ginkgo, you know, the things we're talking about. There are also some topical eye drops that you can use to dissolve early stage cataracts. So if you get that diagnosis and you get it early, I would start using these nutrients, the eye drops and the nutrients, and check your diet in terms of the sugars. That's a big influence on cataract formation. And you have a good chance to at least slow down the progression. In some cases, you can actually reverse cataracts. If you've got to get the cataract surgery, it's actually a very safe surgery, but you want to correct both eyes for distance. So you don't want to correct one eye for distance and one eye for near, because that's going to split the brain, and then you're going to eliminate your depth perception, and it's going to be very confusing. I don't recommend the bifocal contacts. I know some surgeons like to use it, but I find it's very stressful for the brain to try to figure out how to use a cataract lens that's a bifocal. I would just get single lenses for distance and just get reading glasses for up close. My eye exercises after the cataract surgery work extremely well. It's kind of like you have surgery, you do physical therapy afterwards so that you get your brain and your eyes and your body more integrated in the surgical intervention. And the other thing is, when you have cataract surgery, if you have to get it, you want to protect your maculas from the blue light from the computer. And what happens is that our original hardware, our lenses, your lens, my lens, has a pigment that blocks the blue light. But the plastic lenses that are put into the eyes don't necessarily have that blue blocker in it, and you're not told that, so you're more susceptible to getting macular degeneration if you've had cataracts and you're using computers. So the solution to that is buy blue-blocking lenses. These are blue-blocking glasses, like a yellow-orange tint, and that will protect your maculas after you've had the cataract surgery. So there's a lot of things you can do to prevent and reverse, and if you need surgery, there's some simple ways that you can navigate the system to get the most out of it. This is all on my website. I have lots of free information on what is a cataract, what are the nutrients. If you got to get surgery, this is what you do. These are the intraocular lenses that are presented. So I'm an advocate for people if they have to get cataract surgery so that they get the best care and they know what they're doing. They make informed decisions so that they can have the best vision that they can.
I think that piece that you shared about getting the blue blocking lenses because you don't have that natural protection when you have a new lens put in is hugely important for people to know. I mean, if that can lead to macular degeneration, that should be a warning for everyone going into cataract surgery.
Well, you know, what you presented was that these big eye clinics that are doing hundreds and thousands of cataract surgeries, they probably don't have the time to really explain all these things. It's more of like an in and out. And so this is where people need to get educated. It's, again, one of my missions to put this information out there so that let's say a daughter wants to take her mom for cataract surgery and she can come across this information. It's like she's preventing her mom from maybe getting macular degeneration after the cataract surgery. That's why I'm here. That's what I'm doing. And we need to keep putting that message out there. And I think eventually the companies that make the intraocular lenses will include that filter in the lens. But right now, I think you have to ask for it, and it's not in the basic lens when they replace it into your eyes.
Well, so would you get glasses that fit over your normal glasses, or are there lenses that clip on to get that blue blocking?
Oh, yeah, both ways. You can either just get a pair of regular reading glasses, and an optician will know what that is. There's a tint that they will put in that's a blue blocker. Or you can get clip-ons. You can get wraparounds. I have no financial interest with this company, but there's a company that we've been sending people to called Felix Gray, and they make really good blue-blocking lenses, and they're online. So if you have your doctor's prescription, you can just get them online. If people have questions, they can email me. And there's other companies that I recommend for the blue blocking lenses as well. It's a very simple solution. You just have to know that this information is out there.
Oh, wow. So much great information. We haven't covered everything, but people need to go to your website because you do have tremendous amount of information and resources. So I'm going to encourage and invite people to sign up for your newsletter to get Dr. Sam Burns' instruction. I know you've got the instructions for the eye exercises. Just go to Dr. Sam Burns, and I want to spell Dr. Burns' last name, Burne.com, because that's where you will just get a wealth of information. So as we're kind of coming to the end of this interview, wow, it went really fast, didn't it?
It did.
Unbelievable.
Wow. We were talking a lot.
What would you say, just to wrap things up, Dr. Burns, what would you say were your top, five suggestions, supplements that people should start incorporating into their diet from now on for their eyes?
Well, number one, I would eat more plant-based food, green leafy vegetables. Number two, I would include probiotics. I think that this is a really big problem that we're not feeding our microbiome as well as we could. Number three, I would do my eye exercises. I think they're really fantastic, and it will give you hands-on, practical ways to improve your vision every day. Number four, I would do things to reduce your stress, especially when you're on the digital device. There's something I call it the 20-20-20 rule. Every 20 minutes, look out at 20 feet and do that for 20 seconds. So you must take really good care of your eyes if you're on the digital devices all day. And then last, this may be a little surprising, is make sure you get really good sleep. Because we're finding in research that people are not sleeping as well as they get older. And this is the place where we recharge our nervous system, our endocrine system. And so sleep is so important as a way to rejuvenate our cellular and metabolism health. So sleep would be at the top as well.
Well, those are great tips. And, that 20-20 tip, people can just set their phone and put it on a timer, which I really need to start doing, because it'll let you, get the alarm go off, and then you can just stop whatever you're doing and do that exercise, which I think is a great idea, simple to do, but it gives your eyes a rest from staring at a fixed screen, which I'm very guilty of, actually, and be able to really support the eyes and just, taking a break, basically.
Yeah, really, we really need to do it, yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So it's been such a pleasure to have this time with you, Dr. Burns. You're doing such important work, getting us to be totally enlightened about our eyes and of taking care of our eyes. and appreciating the ability that we have to really alter what's going on with our eyes, to heal our eyes, to prevent having conditions, to know that we do have that power to make a difference and to look after our sight, which is just so valuable for us to maintain. So thank you so much for all your research and great work and your generosity in sharing all your information.
Oh, you are welcome. It was very nice to meet you.
And it's a pleasure to meet you. And thanks again, Dr. Byrne, and thank you all of my listeners for joining me again for an opportunity to get empowered with truthful information. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. I know it really has been impactful for me. And until next time, I want to remind you, as always, to honor the wisdom of your feminine self, and hope to visit with you next week. Bye for now.